For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record. For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's
right. Welcome back to my two-part episode with Chris Luera. He's an absolute machine now, but he had a troubled life as a young adult. We pick up my chat with him about his time in jail and on the streets.
When I was in prison, I was in my element of thinking that I was at work. Yeah. I wanted to become somebody. I understood at the age of 14, I gave up. I told my mom, I was like, look, mom, I'm going to die in here. I'm going to die a very bad person, you know? And the sooner that you accept this, the sooner I'll be able to accept this, and the sooner that we will stop hurting. Because I was like 14, 15 years old, but I had already gone in and out so many times that every time I'd go in, my mom would be like, why like, you can change, I know you can change, and why do you do this, and why? And like, I would destroy her every time I'd go to jail. And so when I was like 14 15, I told my mom, like, mom, I'm gonna die in here, like, this is me.
So you'd accepted this, like, was your path, that was it.
I accepted it, and I was trying to get my mom to accept it, because every time I'd go in there, I would destroy her, and then it would destroy me knowing that I destroyed her.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't give a, honestly, I didn't give a shit. Like, I was drugged out and I was ruthless. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was robbing anybody, I didn't care. But to watch my mom hurt still hurt me. And so I was trying to tell her, like, we need to accept that this is what it's going to be. And it's going to hurt us less when I come in here.
Would she visit all the time too, and come and see you, make sure you had, you know, money in your account?
She told me, she said, I will never accept that. I told her, I was like, mom, we have to accept that I'm never going to change. And she said, I will never accept that. You can change. And I know there is something great waiting for you in this life, but you have to be willing to work for it.
God,
it's not going to be given to you.
Wow. Wow.
She's like, my mom's like, I know it's there.
She got her way with you, but didn't she, bro? She got her way with you in the end.
Dude, she did.
God love her.
The thing is that, every time I'd go to jail, I would be such a chaotic mess on the street. Just, I don't sleep for 6-7 days. Don't even know. Like, I would be so lost on meth. So I don't know if you ever experienced anything like this, but I would go so long without sleep that I would talk to shadow people. Like, I would see people
delirious
that weren't there.
Yeah.
Because I was just delirious from no sleep.
Yep.
And it got to the point where I would talk to those shadow people about how I knew that they weren't there.
Oh, that's deep.
But I was still talking to them out loud, full conversation. And I would tell them, I know you're a figment of my imagination. You're just fucking with my head. But I'm still holding a conversation with them.
Wow.
That's how lost I would be on drugs, that when I would go to jail, I took it like, okay, now I'm at work. Now I work on my name and fucking build a reputation for myself.
Were you sick going into jail,
streets,
though?
I'll be a fucking idiot again.
Were you sick going into jail? I mean, did it find that it sort of made you sort of weak each time you went in there, and you had to sort of go through a period of sickness, withdrawal, and shutdown of your body and then reboot? Or did not
have so
that
much
effect?
Because, like, with meth, it was more of like I never slept, and then I would go into, I'd get arrested, and then for 3-4 days in the police station, I would sleep 18, 19 hours of the day. And then once my body kicked it, I would be
back.
I'd be good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be back. I'd be, you know.
So by the time you'd hit this sort of main jail, you're already on your feet running.
I'm already on my feet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, it's time to go to work.
Yeah.
Right. Like like a Fortune 500 company. I need to climb the ladder.
Yeah.
I'd raise my hand for whatever missions. Like, oh, this guy needs to be slapped around. I'll slap him around. Like, whatever. I took it as a job that this is, I am such a fucking loser on the street that this is my place to build a name for myself. I wanted to become that person that when I stepped out of jail, people knew
what you had, what you had done. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted them to be like, oh man, Weddle's coming home.
Don't fuck with this guy.
You know, like, oh man.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. So the last time that I was in jail, I got into this riot and I went to the hole. Right. But that was just part of my daily routine, kind of like, you know, not going to the hole, but you go to the hole, you get out of the hole, but that's just my jail mentality, right? Handle this mission, handle that mission, do this, blah, 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 do what I got to do. Right. But when I was in jail, when I was in the hole that time, I was writing a letter to my mom and it hit me like a brick. Like I was sitting there at my desk in the prison cell and I'm writing a letter to my mom and I'm telling her what happened, that, hey, I got in trouble and I'm in the hole. I'm not going to be able to call the house for a couple of months. I can really use some help right now. I need some deodorant and some body wash and toothpaste.
Yeah.
I need some hygiene products because I'm here in the hole.
So does that mean you're stripped of any of your biops and amenities and sort of everything? You get nothing in the hole?
Yeah, they strip you of everything and then they give you your products that you are allowed to have in the hole.
Yep.
But it takes a month, you know, they fucking sit on their ass just to
fucking with your
head.
You
know, like just to fuck with you. Yeah, just to fuck with you. Yep. So I was writing a letter to my mom to be like, I'm not gonna have any deodorant for a month. Can you please send me some deodorant? Right?
Yeah.
And it hit me like a brick, dude. She was gonna send the deodorant. Like I wrote her a letter and she was asking her for help and she was gonna come through. She always came through. All I could count on her. I could count on her to help me. And you know what I was doing? I was asking for help when I was an idiot. I was writing a letter to my mom in prison, informing her that I was in the hole.
Yep.
Hey, mom, I was an idiot and put in prison. And then I was an idiot in prison. And now I'm in the hole.
That's right. So you're not learning.
I'm not learning anything.
No.
But hey, guess what, mom? I want things.
Need some deodorant. Need some soap.
I want stuff. I'm not learning anything. I'm being stupider than I have ever been. But I want you to give me something.
So you needed her no matter what. Whichever way you looked at it, you needed your mom.
Yeah.
Good
and
or bad.
It hit me in the brick.
Yeah.
Dude, it hit me right then that she was going to give me my deodorant.
Yes.
And what have I fucking given her?
A life of pain,
what have
basically.
What have I ever given her other than pain?
Yeah.
I rob her. I rob her every single time I'm out of jail. When I'm in jail, draw her a birthday card?
Yeah.
What have I ever actually done?
Except ring up and say, I'm in trouble. Can you help me?
All I did was take.
Yep.
All I did was take, take, take. Take, take, take. Mm. What else can I get? What else can I take? What else can I... What is for me? Me, 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 me. And I sat with that idea that whole time in the prison, in the hole, that whole time in the hole for about 4 months. That idea started bouncing around in my head. And at first it was like a pinball, right? Like a little ball that would bounce in my head, like bing, and it would make me think of it. But then that ball kept getting bigger. And as it bounced around, it felt more like a slap when it would smack the side of my head. It felt like someone was hitting me in my head. Like, hey, dummy, look at this woman. Look at how beautiful of a fucking soul this beautiful woman carries. And all you do is take from her. All you do is take from her. And all she wants to do is give to you. And so
unconditional love.
And I had to give her back. I had to tell her thank you. Like I had to figure out how I could say thank you. Like I don't want to say thank you. I've been saying thank you for years and saying I'm going to do good and I'm going to, but I really want her to feel it. So I had the idea like, okay, when I get out of prison this time, I don't have to get high the fucking moment I get out. Every single time I ever got out of jail, I had the mentality of pedal to the metal till I hit the wall. People would ask me, like, hey, what's up, dog? You're getting out soon, huh? Like, what you gonna do when you get out? I'm like, pedal to the metal, bro. Pedal to the metal till I hit the wall. I don't give a fuck. That's just the way I live my life. But I was like, you know what? If I get out of jail this time, I'm not gonna succeed. I can't change my life. What the hell am I gonna do?
Did you ever have it in the back of your mind, but Chris, too, that this time you may not make it out alive? You may get shot, you may get got, you may get, you know, whatever. You may die from your heart exploding. Did it ever cross your mind and that would leave this beautiful soul and mother that adores you right from wrong and would leave her absolutely broken? Did it ever come into your mind?
The idea was that I have the opportunity, right? Like I was in the hole and I was getting closer to being released from jail. And I didn't have the idea that what if I die right now? It was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to die from an overdose. I'm going to die in one of these prison cells. I'm going to get shot in the street. It's some horrific, dramatic, horrible ending is the way is pre-written for me.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable. And the best thing that I can do is figure out how to tell my mother thank you. Because I'm going to die in this horrible way. Something's going to happen. I didn't have the idea that I'm actually going to change.
No, you were committed. You were full metal to the floor.
I was committed.
That was it.
Full in. Yeah. I knew nothing else. Yeah. I knew nothing else. I never graduated anything. I never had an honest job in my life. Never a W-2. Never a paycheck with my name on it. Nothing. So I was like, the best thing that I could do was just somehow tell her thank you. And the idea was that when I get out, I don't have to get high the moment I get out. Maybe if I stay off drugs for a week and if I just spend time with her, just, you know, go to the movies with her or just spend at home and cook dinner, just sit there with her and just let her know that I'm really trying in this effort just so you know that I want to say thank you. I want to say,
get me a bit emotional, brother. I'm like, this is powerful. This is so, wow. This is, yeah, very hard hitting.
And when I got out of prison, that was my idea was that I just wanted to say thank you. And the first week went really great. I didn't go anywhere. I didn't leave my mom's side. Like if I was like 4 years old again, you know, I went to the grocery store with her and helped her with dinner and whatever. I was like a little puppy. And then it started that the smile behind her eyes, not just the smile that was on her face, but the smile that was in her eyes, the light in her eyes to see me not being an idiot. It grew and it grew. And I didn't want to break it anymore.
I can see in your eyes. My mom. See in your face right now, bro. And you know what? For those that obviously can't see what I see, I'm talking to a man who was, you know, a hardcore, notorious young guy that now is just totally speaking with such, you know, heart. I don't know if there's any other word, brother. I can just see how much love and passion and you know, like, and God bless you, your mum's now passed, which I'll let you, you know, elaborate on in a minute. But the honesty and conviction in your face right now, it's so powerful, bro.
Thank you, man. It's she was tough as nails. You know, she was everything that I needed, everything that I am, everything that I carry and hold dear in my heart is because of her. And when a couple of weeks went by and I, you know, was happy that I wasn't high yet. You know, I hadn't been on drugs yet. And my mom was so excited. But then she was like, you need to go get a job. You're not going to live off of me. Go get a job
out there.
And she sent me, and then I was like, mom, I don't even know where do I go? And she's like, I don't care. Go to McDonald's. Go anywhere. And it was because of her that I realized that I am not, I ain't shit. You know, I came out of prison all the time thinking I was a badass. Like, and I look at people like, bro, like, if you really want to go, let's go. Because
yeah, I'll go to
willing
the death.
To go to a level
yeah.
that I don't think you're willing to go to.
Yes, totally understand it. Yep.
But when I would walk into a Subway and ask a 17-year-old kid if they were hiring, and I could not look that kid in his eye, I could not look a 17-year-old kid in his eye
and ask for a job. Yeah.
And it was because of her that she realized, she highlighted that for me. She highlighted everything that I needed to acknowledge. And one thing was that you ain't shit unless you want to work for it.
Speaking of which, a lot of people talk about, you know, oh yeah, I started washing dishes. Well, you started washing dishes. You know, like you hear people, yeah, man, go and get a job. Ask them if you wash some dishes, you know, be a lackey, whatever, you know, be the shit kicker, sweep. You legit started washing dishes.
And I was so happy to.
Wow.
I started filling out all these job applications and I would not even get a call back. No interview, no chance, you know, so. I was actually very lucky that a cousin of mine started their own business and turned their backyard into a venue, like where people can get married and have parties and
oh, wow.
have, you know, things like a quinceañera or a birthday party or things like that.
Is this on the Mexican side of your family?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So it would have been quite big.
They made it. It's beautiful. I mean, like they had chandeliers in the trees and
wow.
It's called the Sepulveda home yeah. and it's won awards and
to this
it's
day,
crazy
to this day. It's yeah. still going
to this day. Yeah. Still going.
Oh man. That's still so cool. Going.
And, because they were hosting so many weddings and so many of these like nice events that they had a regular catering company that would come and bring the food. And so my cousins had the idea that they were like, hey, do you want a job? And I said, yes, please. I would. Yeah. And they're like, it's going to be washing dishes. And I was like, I don't care. That's fine. Which was actually even better. Like it was actually the greatest thing for me because I was just in the back and I was covered in like a curtain. So nobody could see not have that being exposed and
still
nice
have a sense
place.
Of pride in what you were doing and not feeling like the shit kicker.
Exactly. And I wasn't. And
so
I,
your
I just,
ego
I was able,
wasn't
I was
completely destroyed. You know, you still felt that power. As a person, as you, as a man, I could still feel strong and confident, but yet I'm learning from the bottom.
Yes. I love hard work. Like, yeah. I rather work than not. You know, like, I rather be doing construction than doing some mailing something or something, you know,
oh,
like
bro.
I love I hard work. It makes the day go by. It makes you feel more accomplished, you know? So that gave me the opportunity to feel accomplished in the sense of completing a job on the street and obtaining a paycheck in my name.
Yeah. Legit.
And I was like, wow, like just, and my mom was through the roof to see me work. And yeah. when I remember like having my paycheck and showing it to her, and she was just through the roof. I can't even explain it, dude. Like,
look at your eyes right now. It's so emotional for you, isn't it? Like,
dude,
this hardcore mother.
I can think about
and
it.
Here he is just, you know, like.
I feel it, dude.
Melting down over a paycheck.
I feel my mom's
wow.
energy that day.
God bless her.
Oh, so proud of me.
Yeah.
So proud of me. And I really gave up on that idea of making her proud again because I was so lost in the darkness that I didn't know if I could ever make her proud again. And when she saw that, and I wanted more, I was happy being a dishwasher. Like, trust me. But seeing that light in her eyes, I was like, oh, I got to do more. And so then I did do more. I became a waiter and started serving. And then I became a bar back and then a bartender and just kept moving up the company, you know, just kept moving up.
If you think about it and put this in perspective and for the listeners, if they haven't worked it out yet, this is the man you are. That's you in a mindset. And I said it at the beginning, and I said it just before, the way your mind works, everything you did, you put thought into it and hard work, whether it was to be a hardcore dude in jail, whether it was to be, you know, the man that got the money for the addiction on the street and how you'd go about it without going to jail for life. All of it's here, Chris. Brother. Wow.
I never really sat back to look at the little piece that way.
Well, you know, for me, that's, you know, I look, you know, the life I've walked, you know, and lived and what I've been through. I look back and people often ask me, oh, you know, what's your regrets and what's... I don't fucking have any regrets. My biggest regret is the fact that I didn't get to see one of my four children born and I missed the first 4 years of his life due to my own choices of being, you know, locked up. But yeah. Outside of that, I wouldn't be here with this beautiful opportunity to share the world this wonderful story with you had I not walked my path, brother.
Yeah.
You know, and it's taken a lot of mindset and set thinking, planning, you know, and executing. You've got a plan. You've gone from washing dishes. Where does Chris go now?
So when I started bartending, I moved my way up to bar, like being a bartender and bar backing for wedding events and corporate events. And things were going good, man. Honestly, things at work were going good. I was taking on more responsibility than I had ever. And then I remember coming home from work one day going to see my mom, and she pointed out this bump that she had on her head. It was like a little bigger than a marble. And she said it hurt. Like, it doesn't hurt, but it's hard as a rock, and you know, and it feels weird. And I told her that she had to go get it checked, you know, like my brother and my dad and everyone was like, you need to go get that checked out. And so she did. And it turned out to be a cancerous tumor that was growing on her brain. And they also found cancer in her lungs. My mom was a cancer survivor. She had breast cancer before I was in the picture, before she adopted me. When she adopted me, her and my father were 57 years old when I was 3 years old. And not only had they already raised two children and they were now taking care of their grandkids, but my mom had already taken on cancer and beat cancer. She had a double mastectomy and it put her in remission. And now it came back. It came back in her lungs, and it came back in a tumor that was growing on her brain. And so we moved forward with all the procedures of what she started chemotherapy, and we did the cancer fight. And my mom lost that fight. June 19th, 2012, on my birthday, my mom passed away from cancer. And I lost my mind. I had the most positive momentum in my life ever. And when I lost my mom, I lost everything. I didn't lose my sobriety. I thank God. I thank my mom. I thank my mom and I thank God and I thank my mom for giving me the strength that I didn't lose my sobriety. I didn't go back to drugs and I didn't go back to my neighborhood, but I wanted to die. I wanted to be with my mother again. I could not shake the idea that I wanted 5 minutes. I don't know why. I don't know where it came from, but I was begging the universe for 5 minutes. I just wanted 5 minutes to tell my mom thank you and that I love her. And I couldn't shake the idea of the years. Years in prison. Years on the street. Years getting high. That was just all thrown away. And now I just wanted 5 minutes. And it's never going to happen again. And so I was very, very suicidal. I was raised Catholic by my mother. And it's our belief in the Catholic religion that if you commit suicide, you won't go to heaven. You'll go to purgatory.
Yeah.
I know that my mother is an angel. I know that my mother is an angel, is in heaven.
You want to one day meet her again?
I want to be with her again.
Bless you, brother. Well, fuck, I'm sorry, but man. Oof.
It's the only thing that kept me from taking my life.
What a powerful moment.
And about 7 months went by. Six, seven months went by with me falling apart in my bedroom. My family, a lot of my family started writing me off. I wasn't coming out no more. I was pale. I was losing weight. I wasn't going to work. I wasn't, you know, I wasn't taking any weddings on or any jobs.
So your mental health had just gone completely dead,
gone,
finished. But yet you remained sober, if I can sort of say that, through that whole period. Yeah. That right there is a win. That right there is the biggest turning point that you, I hearing your story, sit here and go, that cements to me, you're not going backwards. No matter how tough it was and how heartbroken you were, you didn't turn to what always covered your pain and made you feel that, you know, you're invincible and life's good.
Yeah.
You started to deal with the emotions.
Well, though she wasn't here anymore, I still did not want to break her smile.
Wow.
I still didn't want to break the light that I built by changing. And I knew that was the last thing that she would want. Like with how happy we were together these last couple years, I to this day I reflect on the things that I've done to her and feel so disrespectful. You know, I hate myself still to this day for the things that I've done to her, and there's no way in hell that I would be able to accept doing something else to her. And if I was to give up my sobriety after she passed, because she passed, it would be my biggest failure. It'd be my biggest failure.
It would almost be like an absolute disrespect to the one person you right now in your eyes. There's so much. I can't explain what I'm looking at when I see the hurt and the pain, but the love within your expression. It's sat me on my butt and put me back in my chair, you know. And I'm a man like you, brother, but you know, I'm a tear in my eye, and far out. Wow,
dude, I sat with that, and I honestly had no idea what to do. You know, I just wanted to see her again. And a lot of my family thought that I was already on drugs again because I was the way I looked. I lost a lot of weight and I was pale and I wasn't coming around and I wasn't talking to nobody. And I was already getting the bad juju of he's on drugs and it's only a matter of time before he goes back to prison again. And I had this idea about going to the gym to exhaust my body. The nights were the worst, you know, that I would sit in my bed and stare at the wall and stare at the ceiling. And I hated the nights. I couldn't sleep and I hated the nights. And I I had the idea that if I go to the gym and if I just walked on the treadmill for hours, at some point my body's going to exhaust out and I'll be able to sleep. You know, I wasn't really a fitness guy other than working out in prison stuff, but I wanted to get away from the suicidal thoughts.
Yep.
And I went to the gym and I met some guys that were doing calisthenics.
Yeah.
And being in prison in the state of California, they take all our weights away. So we don't have weights in prison anymore. All we have are like pull-up bars, push-up bars, and, you know, body weight exercises are the only things that they allow us to do.
That's right.
So when I saw these guys doing calisthenics, it blew me away because I saw this guy do a muscle up and I had never seen a muscle up in my life. Like, I've seen guys do pull-ups and do bar work and stuff in prison for years. But if you don't know what a muscle up is, it's a pull-up where you bring the bar to your hip.
Yeah.
It's crazy. All the way up. Crazy. Right? You're like all the way on top of the bar.
Yeah.
So when I was in the gym and I saw this guy jump up, grab the bar, and he did a muscle up, and I saw it out of the corner of my eye. So it caught my attention and I was like, whoa, what the fuck was that? And then I seen him come back down to like dead hang and do another pull up, and he got a muscle up all the way to the top. And it looked like he was on wires. And I was like, dude, the guy looks superhuman strength. It didn't compute in my head the way that he was floating with all that strength.
Yep.
And so I was kind of watching him. And then another guy grabbed the bar and he did a muscle up, but then he did a 360 in the air and caught the bar again. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, what the? That's like some X Games. Yeah. Fit. I don't know. Like, but see, that's how much out of fitness that I was. I didn't even watch. I didn't see that and think, oh, gymnastics.
Is it called calisthenics? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
pretty
what we,
big here too now.
Oh, it's big.
Yeah.
It's real big. And at the time I didn't know anything about what it was.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the guys in the gym that were doing the stuff saw me and was like, hey bro, come here. Like, can you muscle up? And I was like, dude, I don't do a muscle. What? Like, I don't know what are you talking about? And he's like, a muscle up is when you're on top of the bar like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, bro, I don't know.
I can do it. Pull up.
Like,
yeah,
bro. Yeah. He's like, try it, man. Jump up there.
Yeah.
So like my ego kicked in like, shit, I've been to prison. I've done a lot of bar work, you know, yeah. Like fucking could not. I've been depressed for the last 7 months in my bedroom. Like, I couldn't do a fucking pull up, you know? I was like, so then I get like, I come down and the guy's like, look, let me show you this and that. I ended up hanging out with these guys for like an hour.
Yeah.
Right. And they're showing me this, they're showing me that. And they go, hey man, if you're interested, come out to Venice Beach on Sunday afternoons. There's a big group of us. We come in from all these different areas. And I was like, all right, cool. You're like, yeah, all right. Like, and I was excited. Like, I've been so depressed lately that I was excited about something, right? So I'm like, oh man, this is going to be cool. Like, I got a friend of mine. I'm like, hey dude, go to the beach, dude. There's these guys and they do this cool stuff. And I got an ice chest of waters, like a freaking like 40 water bottles. So I can be like, hey, I brought water for everyone. Like, let my hair grow out a little bit. Cause I got like tattoos on my head trying to, you know, these are positive fitness people. I don't want to tell them I've been to jail or anything, you know? So I went to the beach that day, dude. And I met up with these guys and, dude, it was the greatest day I had it in since my mom passed. You know, I felt like I was my head was above water now. Like, I felt like I had been drowning for so long and now I could breathe again. And like, I remember the sun going down and like the guys being like, oh man, dude, thanks for coming out. Today was a fun day. We'll see you again. You know, and I feeling sad, like, I don't want it to stop, you know, like,
yeah,
let's
yeah.
keep going, man. Like, are you guys going to be here tomorrow? What are you doing tomorrow? Like, you know, like, and so it took over my life.
Took over your life.
I wanted to feel good again.
Wow.
I just wanted to feel good again.
Let's jump a little bit forward. how the hell do you become a world champion at this thing?
So that day at the beach, right?
Yeah.
Those guys that, they invited me to the beach, and they said, that feeling of being able to breathe again, it took over my life. The next day, even though they weren't going to the beach, I went to the beach and I did push-ups and I did pull-ups and I did dips. And every single day from that moment on, as long as my body would allow me to move, I was moving. I'd be at the beach for 6 hours a day.
Found your new drug. Out. Found the new age drug.
New drug.
And you were hooked. Lockdown addict.
And I was going to climb that ladder. And I was going to climb that ladder. Wow. And it made me feel good. So it was easy. People were like, oh, man, how do you go to the beach for 6 hours? I'm like, do 7 months of depression in your bedroom and then feel good again. And believe me, you will dive full force to feel good again.
Yes.
And that's all it was. It's all it was. I felt good, you know? And then I found out that there was competitions, and my buddies that I work out with in the beach, they told me, hey, there's a competition coming up in LA. You think you're ready? And I'm like, nah, not this. I'm not, you know, they're like, well, you better get ready, 'cause we signed you up.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You're in it, bro.
And you being you was no, there's no backing out, because that's just not in your mindset.
I'm not going to fall. All right, you sweet. Know, I'm not going to fall.
Let's
I
go.
Wouldn't have signed up. I wouldn't have signed up yet, because I wouldn't have believed in myself, but
no.
I'm not someone to fold, you know? So, and my buddy that put me in, he was hosting the competition.
Okay.
And he also told me, like, hey, bro, we're doing a 16 man tournament. We need 16 athletes. Don't back out on me.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I need you to fill this slot. And so I was like, all right, I got you, man. I probably won't do too good. And I remember him telling me, like, dude, not only do I think you're going to do good, like, I think you're going to win it.
Wow.
And I was like, man, dude, I don't know. Like, I appreciate that. And I did. I won that first competition I went into. I won it. And okay, because I was adopted, my family tree is a little weird.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So there's this lady that I call my grandma Weta. I call her grandma, but she's not my grandma.
Yeah.
What she is my brother's, my sister-in-law's mom.
Okay.
So my brother's wife's mother.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Got that? You following me?
I got you.
All right. Now, here's the thing, is that my mom and this lady have known each other since fifth grade.
Wow. Wow.
They grew up together.
You didn't know this
they
at the time,
children.
But this is years later.
Yeah. Years later, I found out about this whole story. But this woman, they grew up together. They're best friends their whole life. She had a daughter. My mom had a son who then got together and got married. So when I was competing at this competition, she came. She's my grandma. Technically not because of adoption or whatever, but she is my grandma that I know as my grandma. I call her grandma, right? She's also the person that knows my mom the best.
So my instantly, you're just, that's a beautiful connection.
My mom had passed away, and this woman had known her. She's the woman alive that has known her the most, right?
So she would have known and who I you were. She would have known what your mom would have told her everything that she was going through back in the day, yeah?
She knows everything about my entire story. So she was there at this competition, and they hand me this trophy. I win, and I go over to my family, and she put her hands on my face, and she said, your mother would be so proud of you.
Oh, well.
Boom. I'm never doing anything else in my life. I found it.
Yes.
It hit me like a back of the head, man. You don't
your
know
purpose,
how many
your
times,
absolute purpose.
How many times my mom told me, there's something waiting for you, but you have to be willing to work for it.
Yeah.
And there it is. I found it.
And it's hard work too, Chris. It doesn't come easy.
It was not. It was the hardest journey. But my mom was always right. She was always right my entire life, trying to tell me that this was waiting for me. And now I had it. And in the sense that I was like, you always knew what was right. Always. Yeah.
She never ever diverted away from that mindset, did she? She always stayed true to her heart and her belief that you will be alive. Good. And you were like, nah, I'm going to die in here, Mom. This is me. This is who I am.
And with that being presented to me, like, dude, she was right. This was it.
Yeah.
I was like, this is it. I'm not going to do anything else. Like and from that win, that pushed me into a competition in Florida, which then pushed me to the world championship in Moscow, Russia.
Wow.
65 countries. I was representing the United States of America.
Woo.
In the world championship when I am not allowed to vote in my country.
And you are absolutely the pinnacle at the moment in that sport, that industry. You are the eyes for your country. Everybody's watching you. Wow.
I was able to represent my country in an international competition. And then Moscow then pushed me to Norway. From Norway, I went to Dubai. I went to Bahrain, to Oman.
So you travel the world now. This guy that was from the streets with a meth addiction, full of crime and just hatred for the world and fucking just totally ready to die in that life is now just totally living the dream.
19 countries now.
19 countries.
19 countries.
Three world titles.
Three world titles.
Oh, wow.
Best-selling author.
You are a best-selling author. Yes, you are. And what is your book called?
My book is called Beyond the Bars, From Prison to the Podium.
Oh, man. You got to get me a copy of that. Send that shit over.
For sure, dude.
Send that shit over. And I want a motivational something written in it. I want something to read every time I'm down.
Oh, I will sign it for you, man, and everything. I appreciate the interest.
Man, I'm tingling. You know, why I love doing this is because I get inspired by others' stories. You know, like, we all have a journey, we all have a story, and each of us is unique, but I can relate so much to your story and your journey. And even, you know, I was in a Catholic primary school. I was molested by monks, you know what I mean? But I went through that journey, you know, that upbringing, Irish Catholic, that's where I went, you know what I mean? And I love it. I love these moments, you know, and the connection, just feeling you talking about, you know, your mom and the powerfulness and her spirit. And just, I truly would believe, and we've only just physically met today, but your mom's on your shoulder every time you step onto that, you know, floor to perform or to be the best you can be. You just like, I got this, Mom.
Yep. Every competition I've ever competed in, I have a shirt with her picture on it that I hang on the bars. She's right there with me. She's right there with me. She kisses me before I start and she kisses me when I finish.
She's just your absolute light, isn't she?
Yep.
Look at the look on your face, man. You've got so much joy in that smile. And just, oh, wow. To see your emotions change in each part of your story that you've delivered, it's just so impacting, you know, and I would love to hear, you know, more of your book and your story, and I like, I cherish these moments. But wow, thank you for just giving me your energy and allowing me to be a part of your journey and delivering such a powerful story of redemption. I just, you know, what an inspiration. So today you're a motivator. You help others to chase their dreams. And also to your you put together your audio book, which is you know, a platform for
I published
people.
My book I published my book a couple of years ago, and it's available on Amazon, Barnes and Noble. It's available on the different things, but I just finishing recording the audio version of it and gonna, you know, get that into the studio to polish it up, clean it up, and that will be available soon also. My mom stuck by me and gave to me. The biggest thing that she gave me was hope. She kept hope alive inside me. Even though I gave up on it and I tried to extinguish it, she kept it hope alive. And that's the only thing that I'm trying to do now is just pass the message of hope and the possibility of change.
In saying that, Chris, each of my guests, I ask this at the end of each interview, and it's something that's very powerful because it resonates the end of your interview with me and it leaves a mark on others that are listening. If you could give a short message, whether it be a word, words, a paragraph or a line of inspiration, what is something that's resonated with you in your life to keep you at the top of your game and where you are today?
Change is possible.
Amen.
Change is possible.
Simple as that. Wow.
No matter how bad it seems, it's possible to make it better. And even if it's fantastic, it can be better.
Chris, on that note, I'm going to say farewell. I'm speechless, honored, grateful, humbled. Thank you so much for being here today, sharing your story of redemption on The Clink. I wish you nothing but greatness in the future. All the best for the coming year of 2021. And thank you. All right, now I've got to shut up. It's all too emotional. Chris, have an amazing day. You've been an absolute legend. And what an inspiration it is having you on The Clink. All the best, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Dude, that was awesome.
Did you enjoy that?
I very much did, dude. Thank you so much.
What an amazing man. You can check him out on Instagram at Tattered Strength. Next week, we come back home to hear a story of redemption from an amazing Indigenous man by the name of Geoffrey Morgan. He ran away from his father from a very young age, at 12, in fact, turned to robbing banks, petty crime, went to jail. Whilst there, he completed a university degree.
For the record, I'm done trying to make y'all comfortable. That's right. For the record, you ain't trying to grow, then it's done for you. That's right. For the record, lab on me going all the way. All the way. For the record, ain't trying to link, no time to waste. Stop calling. For the record, 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 for the record.
Want to thank a new sponsor who's just come on board, Dr. Pickles Tattoo Aftercare and Lifestyle Products. They're made in Brisbane and are known right around the world. They have this amazing balm. It's called the Original Tattoo Balm. You seal and protect your tattoo with the OG. I've just been using it on my leg after I had it done, and I tell you now, my skin feels amazing and there's a great shine to it. They also have an antiseptic spray you can spray on and wipe over your tattoo to keep it nice and clean so you don't get any infections. They've got a 3-in-1 wash. It's all natural, smells great, packed full of peppermint, citrus, and wait for it, hemp oils. How good's that? Plus, they have a SPF 50 sunscreen, which acts as a moisturizer as well as protecting your tattoos from fading and stop them from getting sun damage. Right now, though, for the Clink listeners, they're offering 15% off with the code CLINK. Just head to drpickles.com. That's drpickles.com.